I'm Pastor Lau from our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato, which brings you this brief broadcast each Sunday morning at about 9:05. Our Savior's is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. That's just across the street from Franklin Elementary. Sunday services are at 8 and 10:30, indoor with masks and distancing, or you can listen from the parking lot on your car radio. We also have a full service each Wednesday afternoon at 1:30. Please join us for Christian worship, education, fellowship, and service.
Years or so, there was one Christian church. In other words, there were no denominations like Catholic or Methodist or Baptist, but everyone simply called themselves Christian. Oh, sure, there were Christians in all parts of the world, and they spoke their own languages and had their own leaders, which were called bishops. And so you had a Greek bishop and a Russian bishop and an African bishop and a Roman bishop. In all, there were about 7 regions or churches in the one Holy Christian and Apostolic Church. And when there was a major issue to be discussed or a major decision to be made, these regional churches would send their bishops and scholars to a council. And together they would come up with an answer or a decision, which all the Christians around the world could agree upon. That's how we got our creeds. For example, there was a council in a place called Nicaea, which developed the language of the Nicene Creed. That's how it gets its name. It took them 61 years to finalize it at the Council of Constantinople in the year 381. Each of the bishops represented one of the regions of the Christian church. But then about 1,000 years ago, the Bishop of Rome thought that he ought to be the head bishop and that his region ought to be more important than others. True, Rome is centrally located, and it is also true that there were about as many Christians in the Roman region as there were in all the others put together, so when a new question came up which needed an answer, the Roman bishop simply decided to make the decision by himself. Without a church-wide council, as it had always been done before, for 1,000 years. This is what caused the split between what we now call the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox churches. To this day, you hear about Russian Orthodox Christians and Greek Orthodox Christians and so forth. The Orthodox Christians, they're the ones who refuse to let the Bishop of Rome take control. They're all Christians, but they no longer make decisions or discuss problems together. This division in the Christian church continued for another 500 years or so. During that time, you had individual popes and their private councils making decisions about what Christians believed. That's a dangerous thing. Can you imagine what would happen if the President of the United States determined all the laws of the land without the Congress? One president would say one thing, and then the next president would say something else. Eventually, we would have all kinds of laws that had no place in America. Well, it was the same in the church during what's called the Dark Ages. Over time, there were new teachings in the Western church which didn't come from the Word of God, but from the decisions of various individuals. So it eventually happened in the early 1500s that a professor, at the Roman Catholic University of Wittenberg in Germany, was doing his work of studying the Bible and teaching it to young priests when he came to believe that his own Roman Catholic Church had gotten away from certain biblical truths which were essential to the message of God's love in Jesus Christ, as taught in the Bible. Seems that he was studying Psalm 71 in order to teach about it, and he struggled with the word righteousness. He looked all through the Bible trying to understand just what that word righteousness meant. And what he discovered in that is that the Bible speaks of two different kinds of righteousness. First, there's the righteousness that comes from obeying God's commandments. The problem is that no one can really do that. The Bible is clear that we have all sinned. No one is made righteous, that is, made right with God, by observing the commandments. But then there is the second righteousness, which the Bible talks about. This is the righteousness that comes from faith, from trusting not that you can make yourself right with God, but that Jesus, God's Son, can and does do just exactly that. The problem then was that his own church had been teaching about the first righteousness without teaching people about the second righteousness. So this man found himself stuck in what's called a double bind. As a Roman Catholic priest and professor, his job was to teach what the Bible says. His job was also to teach what the church taught. But in the course of doing his job, Martin Luther discovered that his church was missing the most important teaching of all, that God saves sinners not by commanding us to fix ourselves, but by faith in Jesus Christ to set everything straight for us. On this day, October 31st, 483 years ago, Professor Luther posted a notice on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg. It was common in those days to put notices on the church door. They had no newspaper, and this was where people would see important information. The notice, written in Latin, was an invitation to a debate listing 95 questions that Professor Luther wanted to discuss with his colleagues about this righteous thing that he had discovered in the course of his work. It had sweeping implications. For some reason, the debate was never held, but Luther's 95 theses sparked a controversy in the Catholic Church and marked the beginning of what is called the Reformation of the Church. Martin Luther was not a radical reformer who had an idea and thought everybody should listen to him. In fact, the opposite was true. He was a monk, a priest, and a professor who took his job very seriously. But when he was forced to choose between the teachings of Scripture and the teachings that had crept in the church through the Dark Ages, Luther chose to follow the Bible. This became the first of the three principles that guided Luther in the Reformation: Scripture alone. The Bible, God reveals himself and his plan for our salvation. The Bible stands alone as the only way for us to know God and to know his will for our lives. If someone teaches differently than the Bible teaches, well, then they must be wrong and the Bible must be right. Only those who teach what God has revealed to us in the Bible have the authority to say, this is what God says. The second guiding principle which Luther discovered in the Bible is that our salvation comes from grace alone. According to the Bible, we can never earn or find our own salvation. Forgiveness for your sins and eternal life aren't something you can buy or achieve. Forgiveness and eternal life are God's free gifts for everyone who will have them. He doesn't expect us to get things going on our own and then promise to finish up for us. No, neither does God start us off on the road to salvation and then expect us to do the rest for ourselves. Getting to heaven doesn't come from doing our part while God does his part. Instead, God does the whole job of saving us. That's what the Bible teaches. It teaches that we are saved by the grace of God alone, without any contribution needed from us. As Luther dug deeper into the Bible, understanding that only the Word of God can teach us, the third guiding principle which Luther discovered is the principle of faith alone. Now that we have been saved by the grace of God, we are to live our lives by faith alone. In other words, you don't know that you are saved merely because the priest or pastor says that you are. Rather, only faith, which trusts in God's promise, can accept this. God, who sees what's in the heart, knows whether or not we trust in Jesus to save us, or if we trust in ourselves or something else instead. God only requires that we believe. By his grace alone, He offers us salvation, and by faith alone, we receive it. Making his arguments based solely upon the Word of God revealed in the Bible for everyone to read and understand for themselves, these three principles of the Christian faith spread rapidly throughout the Christian church. The free and total forgiveness of the gospel in Jesus Christ had been the message of the church since its very beginning. But over time, it had been clouded by the demands and restrictions of the church. Luther's aim was to restore the gospel to its proper place, to the predominance that God himself had given this good news. But even though the officials of the church wouldn't listen, many of the people did. First, the entire faculty of the University of Wittenberg was convinced. When the Augustinian monks, of whom Luther was one, when they were ordered to correct Luther, he convinced them also from the clear teachings of the Bible. Luther translated the Bible into German so that the people of his homeland could read and understand God's word for themselves. Soon after, others were translating the Bible into their own languages. The intention of those who carried out the Reformation of the church was to get the church back to what it had always believed and taught before certain errors crept in. They didn't intend to break away or start their own church, but when they were cut off from the Roman church, they kept on meeting for worship and to preach and teach the salvation of God in Jesus Christ, where they could hold to these same three fundamental principles of faith. The Word of God is the only source of truth. The grace of God is the only reason for our salvation. And faith in Jesus Christ as the only requirement of those who believe. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone. These are the principles upon which the Reformation began, and they are the principles upon which the Lutheran Church to this day still stands. So why do we call ourselves Lutheran? It is because we stand with Martin Luther against anyone who would add or subtract from the Word of God. It is because we stand with Martin Luther against anyone who would make forgiveness and salvation depend upon anything more than God's ultimate grace. We call ourselves Lutheran because we stand with Martin Luther against anyone who would require something more than faith in Jesus Christ. Scripture alone and no other teachings. Grace alone and no other reason. Faith alone and no other certainty. These three are all from God. And unless anyone can show us from the clear Word of God that we are wrong, then we stand with Martin Luther in refusing to give up these three. And where you will find these three principles, you will find Lutherans. To be a Lutheran is not to be a member of a congregation that calls itself Lutheran. To be a Lutheran is to believe that only the Word of God and Holy Scripture can teach you what to believe and how to live. To be a Lutheran is to know that the salvation of God in Jesus Christ is his free gift and undeserved gift to you. To be a Lutheran is to live your life by faith in Jesus Christ, who loved you and who has given his life for you, and to trust in him alone to save you. Today we are not celebrating Martin Luther, and we don't bear his name because he's anything more than anyone else. Rather, what we are celebrating is that today is the anniversary of the Reformation of the Church, and that brought back to light the pure and sweet gospel of salvation in Jesus. We thank God for Martin Luther, through whom God has restored his gospel. But our real praise today and every day is for Jesus, whose name was written on our heads and upon our hearts in holy baptism. We know that we are saved because Jesus has told us so. We know that we are saved because of his grace, his mercy, and his love. We know that we are saved because of this faith that has been put into our hearts, that Jesus came to save sinners like us. And these three things don't just belong to Lutherans. They belong to all who believe and are baptized in Jesus' name. To him be the honor and the glory now and forever. Amen. If you'd like to know more about our Saviors in Mankato, you can find us on the web at www.oslcmankato.org.